somebody was able to be brought to church. Someone's family has met many things in their life. We are going to the island of American Samoa, and where our hope is to bring families to Jesus Christ. As my wife mentioned in the video, we did in 2015, we had a missions conference. We have a missions conference in our church in March every year. And we had a bulletin, and all it said in the bulletin, it had this title, missionary, and it had a definition. I love definitions. I don't know about you. I love to hear the definitions of word. And this definition for missionary said, someone who leaves their family for a short time so that others can spend eternity with their family. And that means a lot to us, because now I have seven in my family, right? I want all seven of us to go to heaven. But even more, think about all the people in the world. We want all of them and their families to go to heaven as well. So a little bit about us. I grew up in Cornerstone Baptist Temple. You may have heard of the church down in Dayton. Our pastor has been there for many years serving faithfully. And I was able to grow up in that ministry, work in several ministries in our church. I did meet my wife in our church. We've been married for 10 years. We've been able to work in youth camps and vacation Bible schools, work on the bus ministry, and work in our college and career class. We've been able to see a whole bunch of different ages of people and people that come to know Christ. Maybe even some people that you think, that person would never be saved. That person would never come to Jesus. That person would never accept Jesus. We've been able to see that. And I know some of you in your life have seen people that have come to Christ, maybe that you never thought would come to Christ, all because someone told them about Jesus. Now our plan, we're just starting out, which is exciting, right? We're just starting out on deputation. Our plan is to be to Samoa by January of 2026. When we get there, we're going to learn the language. They do speak English in American Samoa. Amen. That's going to be great. I don't have to learn the language just to be there. But we are going to learn the language so that we'll be able to better communicate with some of the people in American Samoa. But then ultimately, then when we do transition and are able to go to Samoa as well, we'll be able to speak their language, which is always better, right? We want to know the heart language of a different people. They want you to know their language and be able to converse with them. Now, I'm sure my kids will learn it right away. Pray for us that we can learn it and understand it, be able to minister in that way. Just got an email on the way here from the pastor of the church in American Samoa, where I'll be going in January. We're getting some things set up. He's got a trip ready for me to go to Samoa when we get there, spend about a week. So it's exciting. Things are coming together. Pray for my wife during that time. 3 weeks with five kids. You know, that's a little bit, she's going to need more prayer than me going to another country. So definitely pray for her in that time. I did just find out that your pastor went to school with my mother-in-law and father-in-law, which is great. The fact that he still had us in after that, that is still, you know, that means that he believes in grace and mercy, right? But my mother and father-in-law, I'm thankful for the legacy and the love of Christ that they put in my wife's heart. And I know that God doesn't do anything on accident. I know that He put them in their college and put them down the path of serving Christ so that one day some of these things in our life, all of these things could fall into place. And we see the hand of God, and we're thankful for it. We did get to tell her father and my father what God was calling us to do before they both passed away. What a sweet time to be able to hear your parent tell you, I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're going to go and do that. That's something that I want for you. That was great to hear. So now I'm crying and I can't see my Bible. So, all right, Romans chapter 10. I know I told the brother back there, Acts chapter 12. That is where we'll be. I want to read a few verses in Romans, and then we'll be in Acts chapter 12. Excuse me. There in Romans chapter 10, if you look, Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse number 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We know that people in the world need Jesus. We know that people in Bysville need Jesus. We know that people in other states in this country need Jesus. Why? Because we knew we needed Jesus. Hopefully in here tonight you have accepted Jesus, but the good thing to know is if you haven't, you still can. And this is talking about people that go and become pastors, become preachers, and others that become missionaries. They have the opportunity to tell others how to be saved. What a great opportunity and how special it is. We're going to talk tonight a little bit. The title of the message is Missions Ready. How can we be missions ready? There's some statistics here. There's 8 billion almost people in the world. And we hear that number and it's we don't understand 8 billion. We just know that it's the number, right? We've never seen 8 billion people in a room, but we know it's a vast number. Over 16,000 people groups make up the world. And almost 7,000 of those people groups are unreached. They have no missionary. And that makes up over 3 billion people in the world. And this is the gospel message that we're trying to get out that we hear in our church weekly and other churches of like faith weekly, right? And this is a gospel message you may have shared with grandkids or friends or neighbors. And this, it seems, oh my gosh, this number is so big. This number is, I can't understand how we could tell all of these people about Christ. When we break it down a little differently, it's easier to understand. There's estimated to be about 550 million Christians in the world. And there are 900 churches for every one unreached people group we talked about. And there's almost 78,000 Christians for each unreached people group. That's not me telling you all of us right now need to find a place to go to be missionaries. This is me telling you that there's enough people that we can accomplish this goal. Not us, but Christ through us. So what can we do to be missions ready? We need to be able to prepare to be missions ready. I have 5 points. I know when you hear 5 points, you might be, hey, this is getting a little late already. Don't start there. I have 5 points. They're quick points. I promise I won't keep you long tonight. But I think this is an important thing for all of us to see. Whether you're going to be a missionary, whether you're going to be a pastor, whether you're going to be a police officer, whatever it is in your life that you're called to do, we need to make sure that Christ is the head of it. Look here as we look at the story over in Acts chapter 13. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we see our first point here in verses 1 and 2. This is the story of when Paul and Barnabas are called out of their church at Antioch to reach people for Christ. They're called out to be an example here of a missionary. Let's look here in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." If we're going to be missions ready, the first thing we have to do is to seek God's will. I see that Saul and Barnabas, they were called. Why? Because they were already serving. They were in a church. They were trying to find out, hey God, what is it that you want me to do? If we want to find out what God wants from our life, we have to tell God, hey, this is your life. You show me what you want me to do. As we grew up, right, everybody asked, hey, you know, my son's 7. People have probably already asked him, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? You could think back when you were a young girl or boy and someone said, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of us, what we said then isn't what we are now, right? Because that was our plan. That was the things we thought maybe we'd be good at. But then we allowed God to step into our life. We allowed God to shape our life. We invited God, hey God, show me what it is you want me to do. And then that's when we realized and found the purpose that God had for our life. We should have a plan, right? We don't want to just walk around and not understand and not try to go to school and different things like this. But I urge you, as you go through life, ask God to be the leader of your life. Give over the reins and say, God, I'd like to be an accountant. But if you don't want me to be an accountant, show me that path for my life that you would have so that I can do what it is that you're asking of me. Saul and Barnabas were at church when they were called, but they didn't just go to church all the time. They had other things they did, and they were preparing and trying to do their best. When the doors were open, they came to church. Why? Because they were seeking God. They were seeking what it is that God wanted from their life. If you're seeking God's will, He's going to reveal those steps. He's going to show you, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to make this decision. This isn't a place that you should go. This is where you need to go. He's going to guide your life. So the first thing we need to do to be missions ready is to seek God's will. And once you know what it is that God wants you to do, once you seek and He shows you what to do, be ready, because there's going to be opposition. That's the second point. Be ready for opposition. Look down in verses 6 through 8. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. We see this situation where Saul and Barnabas have moved down to this area where God has called them. And He's preparing hearts before they even go. This man has called unto them and asked them, hey, will you teach me the word of God? We have people that are ready and willing and wanting to hear the word of God. But what immediately happens? The devil knows. The devil knows when you're trying to do something for God. The devil knows when you have a coworker or a friend or a family member that's excited and maybe wants to hear about God. Maybe they were going to be at a service that you had that was special or whatever, and God wants them here. What does the devil want? He doesn't want them. He doesn't want anything good that God's ready to do or wants to do. The devil is in immediate opposition to that. As they were going to the place God called them to be, what happens? The devil sends someone against them. Someone that's going totally against, hey, don't listen to those guys. Don't listen to what they have to say. What they were going to tell that man is going to change his life, right? It's going to show him how to be saved, how to know that Christ can be his Savior. Every battle that is coming up in our life, it's already been won by God. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some tough times. There's not going to be some opposition. There's not going to be people going against you, right? You can think back any time in your life where you've been trying to do something for God. Maybe it's even right now where you've stepped out to try to do something for God. There's immediate opposition. Why is that? Because the devil doesn't want you to do what God's called you to do. The devil doesn't want your friends to be saved. The devil doesn't want your family to be saved. The devil doesn't want American Samoans to be saved. Why? Because the devil doesn't want anything that has to do with God advancing. He wants to hurt the cause of Christ. What happened as we read in the Bible? What does it say when the devil comes to try to tempt Jesus? What happens? He's trying to tempt Jesus with all these things. And what does Jesus do? He quotes Scripture. He tells him, get thee behind me. I don't need you around. None of that stuff is enticing to me. I know the Word of God. As we come and we figure out what it is God wants us to do with our life, we saw God's will. We have to be ready for that opposition. How can we be ready? Because there's always obstacles, right? There's always things that come into our way that try to knock us off the path or try to tell us, hey, that's not actually what God's called you to do. That's not what you should be doing. What else do we have to do to make sure that we're missions ready? We seek God's will. We realize there's going to be opposition. The next thing I see is we need to know our Bible. Look over in verse 14 of chapter 13. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Paul gives a great recording of Scripture and is able to give this sermon. Why? Because he knows his Bible. He knows the Word of God. He knows it so intimately that he can recite it and tell all of these people in an audience that you may never get, right? He gets to tell all these people, hey, this is what God has actually said. This is what God wants us to do. Maybe you can think of things, maybe that, you know, the job that you work in or the hobby that you have. Maybe you're very versed in it. Maybe you understand it. Why is that? A lot of times it's because we've spent time studying those things, right? We've spent time, if you talk to major sports stars or you talk to people that are able to be very good at their craft, they spend time trying to make that better and better. They're trying to do better and better. They spend the time. This is our guide for life. This is our guide for whatever you need in life. If your kids have a problem, if your friends have a problem, if there's situations, we can find the answers. We can know what to do in the Bible. We need to know our Bible. God urges us several times in His Word to read it. If you think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Think of Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This can't be a light unless we're in it. This can't be a light unless we're in it. I'm not up here to tell you, well, if you make sure that you read three chapters today, that's what it's going to be. You know, once you read the Bible and you open it and you understand it, God just wants to speak with you. He wants to be in your life. We need to know our Bible because the world is against us. They're going against us. At every turn that you have, at every situation where you try to do something right, again, like we talked about, the devil is trying to put something in your path, trying to get you off track, trying to discourage you. But when we know our Bible, we can be daily encouraged. We can know, hey, this situation might be tough now. Hey, we might be facing this sickness. We might be facing this unknown battle. But God is still faithful. God is still there to tell you that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us. We don't need to worry about it. We need to learn the Bible. It'll help us to overcome the attacks of the devil. It'll help us when we have distractions in our way. We can always turn to the Bible. It's where we should be on a daily basis. Not so that you can mark off that you read it, but so that you can know that you got to spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in His Word, understanding exactly what He has for you. So we understand we need to seek God's will. Right? And we need to know there's opposition coming. And we want to know our Bible. Why is all that? The next thing, point number four, is the most important maybe thing that we need to realize as we go through this life. Because people will try to tell you that it's not the case, but it is the case. Point number four, if we look over in verses 45 through 47, everyone can be saved. Verses 45 through 47, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Our goal, as we talked about at the very beginning, is to reach the entire world. We want every person in the world to be saved, no matter if they live here or if they live thousands of miles away. We want them to be saved. Their sin is the same as ours. Their Savior is the same as ours. But they have to know about it. And everyone can be saved. We may think, this person, you don't know what they've done. You don't know what situation. No, it doesn't matter. God said that He will save them. Right? We read earlier, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone that's still breathing, that's still here with us, if they don't know Christ, they still can. They can still accept Jesus. And that's what should give us excitement. That's what should give us that burden in our heart to say, God, every person I meet, I want them to know You. I want them to know You. It doesn't mean they will. It doesn't mean that if they don't accept Jesus right away that we are ruined and we're discouraged. No, it just means that we keep on. Because God can do the impossible, right? With God, all things are possible. We know that some things in this life, we know there's things we can't do. But God, He can do anything. And we know that our greatest ability as people is availability. If we're available and ready to be used of Christ, He's going to lead you to that person. If you've ever had an opportunity in your life to say, hey God, will You tell me somebody that I can reach for You today? God, will You send somebody along my path? What happens? He does. He sends that person, whether it's at McDonald's, whether it's at your job, whether it's, you know, in line at whatever grocery store, right? You have maybe an opportunity to just reach in your pocket, hand them that tract. Reach in and, you know, invite them to your church, right? Show them that, hey, there's people that love you, but there's a God that loves you more than anyone will ever love you. Everyone has an opportunity to be saved, to be totally missions ready. After you realize, you know, I've sought God's will, and now I know there's going to be opposition, but I know God will get us through it. And I know my Bible, and I know everyone can be saved. What else can give us that extra push, that extra understanding that's going to help us tell more people or tell somebody about Christ? It's the fifth thing here. If you look in verses 50 through 52, we see that we need to remember that God is with us. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. God was with Saul and Barnabas. He was with them because He was directing their path. This was what He wanted them to do, and He was following right along with them, ahead of them, preparing hearts. He was right with them. And when they were sent away from this area, He gave them a new area to go to and reach people. There may be some people that say no at first. Okay. There may be some people that say yes at first as well. The people that we have in our life that we're able to tell about Christ, just continue to tell them. Don't beat them over the head with your Bible, but just let them know, hey, if you want to know how to be saved, I know. Or if you want to go to a place where you can know how to be saved, this is my church. Or this is a place that would tell you, this is a Bible I could show you right now. We need to be just ready and remembering that God is with us when we go to these things that seem impossible. When we tell those people maybe that know a little bit more about us than we'd like them to. Or they know, you know, hey, I know how you used to be maybe before you got saved. We can tell them, hey, you know what's changed me? It's this God that I met. It's this God that I accepted. The gift that you can accept as well. Point number four should give us some excitement tonight, because we know that there's people out there that are lost and on their way to hell. But we know that God can save them. And we know that that God is with us as we go to tell people. Let's get mission ready, not so that somebody could say, hey, that guy's great. Hey, that girl's great. Hey, they're awesome. Look what they've done. Not for that, but so that the world can be saved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. God, I thank You for the opportunity to be in this church. And I know You want to do